Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 333, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. 333, the half-assed sign of the beast. It is upon us. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. What a time to be alive. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Blinded with Zeitgeist. I know that looking's wrong, but it can't be that bright. Blinded with Zeitgeist. The eclipse is long gone and everything looks like night. That is courtesy of Steaming Chuck on the Discord in reference to our advice to all our listeners to just raw dog the eclipse with their eyeballs, just no ocular raw doggery, no eye protection. And yeah, our bad. I guess we got to say our bad, folks. We were way off on that advice. Steaming Chuck credited that one to Manfred Mann's Earth Band, which that's certainly the version I am most familiar with that I was singing. But that song is actually originally written by Bruce Springsteen before he like found his writing voice and started writing songs about like factory workers who've been kicked like a dog too much or whatever. Instead of like, that song does not sound like a Bruce Springsteen. He's like Curly Whirlies and someone named like Go-Kart Mozart. I feel like it was like the one song that Bruce Springsteen wrote on acid or something. Very, very strange.
But that's such a great image. I love that.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know if I like this, but
gotta go back to my shift.
Is this something here? Go-kart Mozart checking out the weather chart, see if it was safe outside. I don't know. You guys figure it out. Anyways, that voice you heard, I'm thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host, a hilarious and brilliant producer and TV writer. You know him from the Yo Is This Racist podcast. It's Andrew T.
T the best podcast occasional guest host. Another one.
There it is. All of his catchphrases.
I just forgot. Does Miles usually look up some holidays? Because it's National Cheese Fondue Day, which I assumed was redundant, but there must be actually. So the cheese lobby put something in because it's also National Poutine Day. Although it's unclear whether it's this nation or the more obvious nation for Putin to be
National Constipation Day.
Yeah, back it up.
Yeah, which nation is national? Which nation is claiming National Putin Day? Is a good question.
It doesn't say.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to look further. I guess America.
For a while there, after like going to Just for Laughs in Montreal and like having poutine, I was annoyingly evangelical about poutine. Like, why don't we have this for every meal? But then I started noticing how I felt after I ate poutine.
One of the
like, oh, Right.
Single worst slash, I get it, this was very generous, and thank you to everyone who supported everyone while we were on strike. But one of the worst days was, it was hot. It was the summertime, and someone donated a poutine truck to one of the picket lines. And it is honestly wild. That is like the single most dehydrated day I've ever had, among many other bad feelings. Yeah. I felt fucking terrible.
What if spaghetti, but instead of spaghetti sauce, it was salty gravy and cheese, and instead of pasta, it was salty French fries. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that, I mean, it works. It certainly works, but just holy shit.
Outside in the sun. What if it was like 97 degrees?
Yeah. Your eyeballs just start raisining up a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Andrew, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by another one of our favorite guests on this very podcast, an award-winning podcast host, writer, producer, actor, you know, from Grand Crew, How I Met Your Father. It's Jacquees Neal!
Oh, I'm back now. And it's Jacquees. And it's Zai.
Yeah.
Hey, what up, Negroes? What up, what up?
What's up, man?
Man, it's been a while, man. It's been a while. Did you miss me, Zeit Gang? Are you happy? Are you? I hope somebody just crashed their car.
Hearing out my of voice. Horniness.
Yes, out of horniness. Yeah. I hope people listen to the Daily Zeitgeist while they're having sex, and somebody just came.
Oh, God.
As soon as they heard my voice.
Your voice. They're just like, well, that was too soon. I'm sorry. But, you exactly. know, they're like, I totally understand that.
I hope it was a girl who never comes, and she finally came.
She finally came. First so time. Hard. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Step your game up, fellas or ladies.
There you go.
Because we don't discriminate here. Ladies cannot make you come too now.
That's right. Ladies can be bad lovers.
Ladies
as well.
Can suck at sex too now.
Yes.
I do love the idea, people, for your fuck playlist, just raw dog shuffle on every piece of media you have on your phone.
I love it.
It just anything. Anything that's there. Don't curate. Curating is so weak willed. Mm-hmm. Just play anything.
Just play whatever you got. Yo, if Barack Obama's DNC speech from 2004 pops up while you're banging, don't stop.
Oh, chapter 11 of Freakonomics, you forgot to delete. Great.
I went from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to the 37th chapter of Infinite Jest.
Yeah.
We kept going, you know?
Just fuck through it. Fuck through it.
Fuck through Infinite Listen, Jest.
If you could put curse words in your title, the title of this episode should be Just Fuck Through It.
Just Fuck Through It.
Yes. And really, that's the zeitgeist we all want to live in daily.
That's true.
Fuck it through it. Keep calm and fuck through it all, you know? Well, Jacquees, it's wonderful to have you back.
Ah, good to be back. How are you?
Great to hear your voice. I'm doing great. I'm doing good, great. Man.
Good.
Yeah. How did everybody have a safe, ocularly safe eclipse? Did anybody experience anything?
I have not looked at the sun in 14 weeks, so I did not partake in anything to do with it.
Yeah. Just staying in, the dark.
I was in a doctor's appointment at the time, an allergy appointment at the time, and I was like, oh, I think there's something going on right now. And then I looked out the blinds and I was like, it's still daylight.
Right. Yeah. My dog was kind of sniffing at the shadows. I can't tell if she was freaked out or there's just something down there. I did have a friend who took a special trip to the zone of totality and was in somewhere in the middle of America. And she sent me photos from a thrift shop of several Nazi knives. So,
wow.
Was it worth it? Of course, she has all these new knives, but...
But also, if you did enjoy the eclipse, you are a Nazi.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
It really is like going to the middle of nowhere and just being somewhere where it's dark outside and there's all these Nazi knives. Like, that's like a real bad horror movie. Like, I'm just like, oh, man, they try to put too much stuff in this movie.
There's not enough Eclipse movies, I would say, because, yeah, Miles pitched one a couple weeks ago where bank robbers, like, plan a string of bank robberies along the path of totality to, like, time up with the eclipse because everybody's looking at the sky. Although, I guess everybody just, like, looking at the sky while a bank robbery is happening would be a pretty quick one.
what happens is, you know, when the sky gets dark, it makes everybody in that town in the zone of totality blind.
Yes.
You know, they can't see.
That was actually, you know, one of the plot points that we were pitching, is that they somehow, like Ocean's 11, have a guy who gets counterfeit eclipse glasses out to an entire town of cops, and then they are all immediately blinded. And
that is such immediately a good prank. Blinded.
Wouldn't that be funny?
In one bank, like the bank is half in like totality, and the other half isn't. And the half that's in totality is only the side with like dollar bills. And like all the high dollar bills are in the side where people can see. So, you know, you can only steal like $30.
Yeah.
Got to do it. I'm surprised that no one I guess by the time the next eclipse, this will definitely happen, but they haven't come up with some sort of like neon skywriting that they can just like do over the eclipse. So this eclipse brought to you by Chase Bank.
Yum Brands.
Yeah.
I love it. You gave me an idea.
We all love it.
We now do. I just have to stay alive for 20 years.
I mean, they tried. Like, I feel like Pizza Hut had their eclipse special. Sun Chips had a flavor of this. Is, by the way, this is what I'm like at a party. I'm just remembering stories we covered on previous episodes. But Sun Chips offered an eclipse flavor that was available for you could only buy it during the eclipse. So if you felt like spending the eclipse huddled over your laptop.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Or with your Apple Vision Pros, so you can look at the eclipse and order Sun Chips online at the same time.
There you go.
You know, Jack, you say that like you're not fun at a party, but what I'm hearing is you bring the party to the podcast.
That's right.
Pure Party Jack is here.
That's right. Yeah. Pure Party Jack, my other AKA. All right. Jaquez, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. We're going to talk about the economy, stupid. The consumer price index rose again, startling economists and nobody else. I've actually had this story ready to go since the last month when consumer prices rose and economists were like, what the heck? So we're going to talk about that because they're like, everything has stopped. Economics gravity has gone away. Nothing makes sense anymore. And I want to talk about why that doesn't seem to be the case to me, a economics expert. We're going to talk about Lunchables, the children's meal created by Big Tobacco that is, and you're not going to believe this, apparently full of poison.
No, to be Jack.
Addictive. Yeah, I know. It's fucking, like, if we can't trust our Lunchables, then who can we trust? Anyways, we're going to talk about all that, plenty more. But first, Jaquez.
Yes.
We do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Porn, baby.
Okay. I had a feeling. It's
all
every time.
All types of porn. I'm looking at BBC, BBYs, BBGs. What would a BBG be?
Gut,
big bone guts. You know, I have turned my like search history off on my phone, you know, because I just did. So like I'm like, you know, what do I be searching? What do I be searching? And I'll tell you, I'm on my way to Japan.
Are you really?
I am. I'm going to be in Japan for about a month. So if any Zeitgeist fans are in Japan, please welcome me. But I'm going to be in Japan pretty soon. So I'm kind of just in like, you know, if I'm not looking up ways to aid my masturbation, I am looking up like Japan tips, tips for traveling to Japan.
Yeah,
that's, tell you, that's Jacques, my search history.
You can combine those two interests pretty
that's
easily.
Right. Yeah.
Not here, Andrew. Not here. I can only talk about those things in private.
Yeah. And you're not you are Googling ways to aid your masturbation. Like,
yes.
How can I do this? Like, what's a better grip?
What's a better grip?
The one I'm using.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I, you know, like, what's a better grip? What can I do with my fingertips?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, what's the best oil?
How high up the wrist counts as hand still?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If I squeeze my dick between my elbows, will that does that count?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
I just tried pantomiming that for anyone not on the Zoom. Just to actually I know this is more about me being inflexible, but I can only barely do that.
I mean, it's about you being inflexible, and I would also say that dick size has something to do with it.
Yeah, I have to reach so far above my head to get to my dick.
You know who you could talk to about Japan? Who? You might notice that the regular co-host for this show, Miles Gray,
day, bro.
Is not here.
That's why I agreed
he
to come today. I
was taking a quick trip to Japan.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is he? When?
Currently.
Do you know?
Right now.
He's there now.
Oh, he's there.
Now,
oh, shit. I'll probably be there.
On Monday, Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. He's taking super quick. I'm leaving on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
damn. Just going
to
miss
him. Hit him up.
Tell him to just hide you something at the airport.
I will.
Just give you a little package somewhere.
I'll tell him to hide me a bomb.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not an explosive one.
Yeah.
Right.
Not an explosive one. Just something that's the bomb.
Yeah.
A confetti bomb.
A confetti bomb. Yes.
Those are fun.
That's tight. No, but I'm looking. If anybody, you know, if anybody got any fun tips, shoot them my way. I'm open to them all. I'm going to be, like I said, in Japan for 3.5 weeks, almost
a month. Damn. Hell yeah.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good ass time.
That was awesome.
And specifically for Japan tips and not masturbation tips, because the internet is
good.
Yeah.
I got that all clear, man. I got that all clear. My elbows are greased and ready to go.
What is something you think is underrated?
Not having to drive.
Ooh.
Not having to drive is a beautiful fucking thing. Mm. And I know, like, there are some people who live in cities where you don't have to drive a lot. I want to talk to you because you don't know the other side. You don't know what it's like to need to have to commute. So you're spoiled. And I was a spoiled brat once. I used to live in Chicago. We didn't have to drive in Chicago. But living in this concrete jungle called Los Angeles that we live in, we have to drive. And man, I love getting rides, man. I love getting rides. I'm telling you now, if somebody ever asks me, like, you want to drive? My answer is going to be no.
Yeah.
It's going to be no. I'm going to say no, you can drive. I'll take the passenger seat.
Damn.
I will just sleep. I'll lean that chair. There's nothing like leaning that chair back on the passenger seat, putting on some sunglasses, have some music playing. And, like, you know, only waking up when the person driving has to slam on their brakes. Like, that's a beautiful fucking thing. It's beautiful.
I don't trust other people to drive. Like, this is my problem with flying, too. Is I'm like, just the feeling of not being in control. Totally a psychological defect on my part. It's not a good thing. But, I prefer to drive.
You prefer to be in control.
Be driven. Yeah.
See, I had some shows in San Diego this past weekend, and I took the train down. And I was like, I don't feel like driving. I'm taking the train down.
Hell yes
to a
train.
Beautiful. I watched WrestleMania on the way back. It was gorgeous. It was a gorgeous evening of commuting that I didn't have to do anything.
Does the train to San Diego still have that business where you have to take a bus for part of it, or do they fix that?
So what I did was there is a train that comes to and from Burbank, which is the town I live in. Don't come find me. but it's the times are weird.
It's going to be real hard to find the black guy in Burbank.
In Burbank, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be so hard. So I just drove to Union Station and parked, and it's like $7 to park for the whole fucking day.
Yeah.
Train there and back.
They must have fixed it. It was at some point during last year, like part of the track washed out.
Down on the San Clemente.
That's not related to anything about how the globe is changing. Warming? In any way.
No, you're
not,
man.
So it's fine. No, it's Earth fine. Is just trying to have fun, dude. Who don't like slides? I like a slide.
Who doesn't love mudslides?
Who doesn't love a mudslide, man? I love a mudslide.
You ever seen Romancing the Stone? That shit looks fun as hell.
That shit looks great, man. Journey to the Center of the Earth? That shit seems fun.
The Coastliner.
How the fuck do you guys have so many mudslide scenes queued up? I can't think of one.
Goonies, kind of a mudslide. More of just a water slide in the earth for some reason.
I got nothing.
Yeah. The Coastliner is a blast. Highly recommend for anybody in LA.
It was beautiful.
And you're about
too?
To go to the land of convenient train travel, by the way.
Bro, I can't wait to get on the bullet train, man. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I also was thinking of something. This is the toxic traits of my brain. have you ever thought, like, all right, so like if you're standing on a platform,
yes.
And like you see the train coming, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, could I jump from one platform to the other and miss the train? Like,
yes.
I think about that all the time.
We were raised on the same movies, man.
Yeah, I think I could fucking do it.
They just, like, that was in the movie Entrapment. That's how Sean Connery flirted with Catherine Zeta-Jones. Was he would just jump through a train as a way to just, it's so... easy.
It feels easy to me in my brain. I'm like, all right, the train is that far. I see it coming.
Yeah.
I see the distance. All right. If I time it, because I don't want to just jump. I want to jump and have there be a hint of peril. Like, I want to jump and make it. I don't want to just jump and the train is like a block down the street. I want to jump and make it. So, like, I think I could time it out perfectly and do it.
Yeah.
And if I don't, you know, it's been real.
Yeah.
Let me throw this out there for you, Jakee. Sorry, I got excited. I interrupted you.
Please. No,
because now I'm hearing a pitch for my second business idea of the episode, which is just sort of like, you know, those like foam gymnastics places for kids?
Yeah.
One of those, but for grown men to do all the toxic shit that they probably shouldn't try. So like a fake train tracks, and I guess like a huge like fucking train, two train sized blocks of foam that go by at 30 miles an
hour. They're flying by.
Just to see if you could jump across.
Yes.
You know,
hell yeah.
Other stuff like that. Yeah.
Have you ever been walking up the stadium and you look back and you're like, I wonder if I could jump from here to the court. You know,
like
from the top row to the court, like if I could jump far enough out that it wouldn't catch me. Like, I couldn't, but
like, I think if I jump down, I can like jump and like grab the next level bar down
and then
jump and grab the next level. I think I could do so much shit.
Yeah.
You know what I am? I am The Rock and Sam Jackson. And other guys.
Yes.
When they jumped off that fucking building, it was like, just aim for the bushes.
What do you say,
like,
good buddy?
Yeah. aim for the bushes. And then they smack the ground.
Right. Bush or like a big like fake dumpster full of stuff and just like a building. You're like, I can get in.
No,
right?
That was medical waste. that was all the used syringes you jumped into. Oh, fuck.
Anyway. So there's got to be some warehouse in like City of Industry that we could host this event at.
Oh man, I love that idea. Yeah, I have an overactive call of the void where like anytime I'm like on a building top or just anything, my brain, there is a big chunk of my brain that's like telling me to, you know, do something deadly.
Yeah,
I could touch that.
Yeah,
I
could jump across this street. Granted, at street level, I would never think I could do that. But up here, sure thing. It'd be easy.
Yeah.
Jakee, what's something you think is overrated?
This is going to sound weird, but follow me. And mostly follow me because I'm thinking all this bullshit up off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's clear.
I think this is going to sound weird. I think health is overrated.
Health.
Ooh.
Here's what I mean by that. I don't think being healthy is overrated. And I don't think finding ways to feel healthy is overrated. That's not what I'm saying. I think the things that we need to do to be healthy and to find the health and all the hoops we have to jump through is overrated. It shouldn't be this fucking hard to obtain health. And I know people are like, preach, Jackie, start talking about health insurance. Nah, man, work for your health insurance yourself. I'm a Republican. But what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, you shouldn't have to, there's so much shit. Like, we got to pay so much money. You got to walk all the time. And like, oh, I can be just enjoying myself and I get the bubble guts and I got to go. But like, I'm saying that our bodies are fucking flawed design.
Yeah.
And the fact that we need to do so much shit to maintain being alive is miserable. It's okay. So miserable. Yeah. And it's so overrated. And like, if we could get to a point where we are just robots and we could just plug our stream of consciousness into a machine that can turn on and off and be fixed and do all the things, fucking give it to me. Give it to me. It would be so much better than the human bodies that the good Lord have given us. So that is what I think.
The thing that fucks me up is that the sun gives you cancer. Like,
that's crazy. That's crazy.
Like, every like time my kids go outside, I have to just like,
you gotta, yeah,
treat them like they're a beekeeper.
Oh my god,
like, it's crazy, man.
Them. Like,
especially for white people, man. Y'all greatest enemy is what keeps the planet alive. Man.
I know,
like, damn. It's terrible, man. It's
well,
terrible.
That is why they're trying to kill the planet. Just,
yeah, yeah. We're just trying to get that shit a little bit lonelier. You know what I mean?
This is propaganda from Robo Jacques, and I feel like you're not telling us something.
Yeah.
This does feel like Jacques, like, slowly planting seeds, and then in like 5 years we'll be like, oh, he's been a robot.
Yeah, I've been a robot this whole time. Let me tell y'all.
Wait,
something.
You guys y'all didn't know Jacques? Oh yeah, Jacques has been a robot. Yeah.
Have you heard about this thing called AI? Yeah.
You know how they like implanted one of those Elon Musk chips in someone's brain?
That was Jaquez.
That was me,
baby.
Yeah. Jaquez is actually really tight with, that's why he's a Republican now. He's really tight with Elon Musk.
Elon, he whispered in my ear.
Opportunistic Republican. If you could like become friends with Elon Musk and just like have billions and billions of dollars at your fingertips.
I would do it.
I don't know.
I would probably not, but
let me tell you why I would
think about it.
Let me tell you why I would do it. Because if I can, like, have a purely transactional relationship with a white man and get everything I fucking want, damn right, give me my goddamn reparations. Give it to me. I'll take everything.
He doesn't know
that's what he's doing. I don't like him, but I'll take everything from him.
I think obviously you're a better actor than me, but most people, I'm like just such a bad actor.
Oh,
I have
no poker face. Yeah.
I would just get fired from that job is the problem. Yeah.
Oh,
of disgust that I would be flashing inadvertently. Yeah.
But in my world, in this friendship, I can do that though.
Yeah. That's true. If it's a true friendship.
Nah, you fucking suck, bro.
Yeah.
So anyway, can I get this new Mercedes Benz?
Jacques.
Based.
Jacques is always so fun. He's so based. He's so funny, this guy.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. Well, fuck health.
Fuck health.
Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the economy.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man
take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so we've got another month, another unexpected sharp upturn in consumer prices. Consumer prices rise 3.5% year over year. And economists are flummoxed. They have been like, so they don't know what to do. Like, so last year they were like, a U.S. recession is effectively certain in the next 12 months, according to Bloomberg News last October. And that never happened. Wall Street was, of course, supposed to take a shit during the pandemic, since the entire economy shut down. But instead, corporations were reporting record profits. That was my first clue. Just like pop that in your brain, that the entire economy shut down and they were reporting record profits. That doesn't seem to make sense. And then we have this thing happening now where, you know, during the pandemic, they were like, inflation is out of control. But that's a couple reasons there, actually. So the reason that we're having inflation is supply chain problems, which made sense to, I think, everybody. And also, you guys have too much money. Like, the government gave you guys a check for $200, and that's fucking everything up. There's all these, like, there's this New York Times article where they were like, and people were just like went on spending sprees, like just like evoking this image of us all like getting our checks from Joe Biden and just like waking up in a pile of like half unboxed flat screen TVs, just being like, I don't know what happened. You know, like just we had too much money and that was the problem. So now they're like, like last month, the New York Times was like, what's going on with the U.S. economy? And they started making up shit like economic overheating and the economy being too good.
And, it is dope how much of economics is just like, it's like being a Supreme Court justice, which is like you decide what you want to say politically and then backfill a reason for it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, oh, they're just making shit up to blame. Oh, okay, cool, of course.
Yeah.
It's also funny, too, because, like, it is one of those things that, like, we aren't taught growing up.
Yeah.
Unlike in schools, unless you seek it out or anything like that, or what the economy really is and everything like that. And as we do grow up, it's just... it's just nothing but confusing shit.
Like, yeah, well, just lies, really lies and contradiction.
Like, I'm scared to talk about the economy because of things. Like, there's this whole section in one of these articles that's like, these economic indicators are supposed to be the reason, like, are supposed to drive inflation down. And it's like prices going up, but unemployment being down. And like, they list like this fucking stew of economic indicators. And they're like, usually that means that inflation is going to go down.
You know, but how, like, I know when the economy is right, man?
Yeah.
So when my cousin who sells shrooms and acid got to start selling crack. When he got to start selling crack, because I know the economy is bad, bro. The economy is bad. He got to, that's how I do.
I wish I remember who wrote this on Twitter, but someone was like, the fact that A-list celebrities are doing commercials during non-Super Bowl season means the economy is real bad.
Yeah, right? Yeah, their investments are not looking good. But like, I just think it's much simpler. Like, all of this has started to make sense to me once I realized that the thing that the mainstream media refers to as the economy is just a metric for how rich the ultra wealthy are getting. And it's really just at the expense of people who don't own stock at this point. Like, they've just realized that they can raise prices as much as they want, and they're completely insulated from like what the economy looks and feels like to everybody else. Yeah. So it's just like, that's the rest of our money that they're making record profits with, you know, like that. It just seems really simple when you think about it that way. There's this economist, I think Richard Wolff. Yeah, Richard Wolff. He's like this old guy who's like kind of a left-leaning economist. And he just his description of like what happened during the pandemic is like, what we had was a situation in which corporations across America understood that the money pumped into the economy to cope with the crash that we were due to have, coupled with the pandemic, was an extraordinary time. The government pumped in enormous amounts of money, enormous amounts of fiscal stimulus, and this made it possible to raise prices to improve profitability. So it also like bakes in this detail, which is that they were price gouging during a pandemic, like during a time when they were like, where their commercials were so fucking solemn and were like, now more than ever. But they were price gouging. Like that's what inflation is companies price gouging. And they're just being a complete disconnect between the corporations and the people who control them and own stock in them and everything else, like the vast, vast majority of the other people.
The way that we as a collective society, and especially those of us who aren't ultra wealthy, have been taken advantage of because a pandemic happened that we did not ask for.
Right.
And, you know,
I had a little hand in it, but no, go ahead.
Good for you.
I did say before it started, I mean, I feel like we could all use like a snow day from like, if work's going to be closed for like a week, like that could be fun. That'll be a nice relaxing thing. I didn't know it was going to be closed for a year, but
if we're admitting things, I guess I did let my pet bat out that night.
Oh man. I've said this before, maybe even on the show, but now I gotta try bat at some point.
Yeah.
see if it gives you some other like. Some
I just wonder.
It's a mammal.
If it's that good.
If it's that good.
It's just bat is my so favorite good. Foods are mammals.
But it's crazy, man, and like everything is so much more expensive than it was before the pandemic, and everything is so much more. Like less available, it feels like, and we're starved. Those little like 18, 19 months when people were like, I can't do nothing. Like we're so starved to like do things and want things and experience life because so many people felt like they missed out on life and so many people passed away and so many people are dealing with things mentally and physically, emotionally from that pandemic, that like everybody who is in charge of how we spend our money is taking advantage of all of that. It's so wild to me that we don't know, we're not letting it happen, but I don't know what, it's just, at some point it feels like something has to break.
Yeah.
And I don't know when that's going to be or what that is, or even if it's going to be, but, or if we're just going to be how we normally are, which is just find a way, you know. Gas has been $5 in California for almost 2 years now. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, all of this is, it's like the reason ostensibly we have like a government like we do is that we don't solve these problems with people throwing bricks in the street, but.
You know,
that's for now, I guess. I don't. Yeah, they're. It's like they're forcing that to be the only way to make change. I'm not saying that is gonna happen or it should happen, I guess, but it does seem like what the options ever narrow for a normal person.
Yeah. There's this The Hill article that, you know, The Hill's like a very centrist like political thing, and it says experts thought they knew how the economy worked after the pandemic. They're not so sure. It like lays out this mystery of like all the things that aren't working the way that they're supposed to, and like how they're so surprised that like President Biden's economics like ratings from voters is so low, despite the fact that like it's getting all these great marks when like according to Wall Street, you know. But then like when they get to the end where they're like, what are some theories that could explain this complete mystery? It's like a bunch of Occupy talking points. It's just like the top 1% owns more than half of the stock market. The bottom 50% owns less than 1%. Like, it's just, it's the shit that people have been saying for fucking decades at this point. And they're just like, I mean, maybe, like, I don't know. Like, this seems crazy, but maybe it's this, that it's a very small portion of the population determining how much we all pay, and they get to raise prices and it doesn't affect them at all other than giving them record profits. Like that's
yeah.
And it hurts us, but they are not us. They couldn't be further from the rest of the world who have to like consume things. And they're, I don't know, like they, people are also like talking about the 70s, and you know, that was a time when there was, you know, inflation was a major concern. But back then there was like a strong enough labor movement that inflation hurt capital. Like it hurt the people who are in the C-suite more than it did workers. And we are just so far from that, that like there's going to need to eventually be like the government being like, yo, like you have to stop price gouging like that. Like that's, well, and it seems crazy, but like that, I mean, they did that in the 70s. They did put like price controls in place.
And, and like the fucking dickheads who are economists would say, well, this is just a ripe opportunity for someone to outcompete these corporations, to which it's like super clear. It's like the competition is not in selling stuff. It's in your stock price. And they have all agreed that the stock price, like, can, like, it's better to gouge people than not.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason except for the fact that the economy is the stock market and it's not the economy.
Quote, listen into, or just like read reports about their earnings calls. And their earnings calls are just them being like, so we had this fucking crazy idea to just raise prices on people. And wouldn't you know it, our profits went way up. And now we're choosing to, with all that extra money we made, we're investing in our own stock price to like make ourselves richer, essentially. Just make our stockholders richer.
Yeah.
It really, like, I think there's a fascination right now with airport pricing, like in the zeitgeist. Like there was that meme about people keeping track of like Chex Mix prices at various airports around America, and like how
Kylie was doing that.
Yeah, Kylie, exactly. And
yeah,
it was like almost random. It just didn't totally make sense. But I think people are interested in that at some level, because like we're realizing everything is airport prices. Like everything is airport prices now.
Yeah.
Because like it's not like airports, like it costs more money to sell, to get the Chex Mix into airports. The reason they sell you that for a marked up price is because they know you are captive, because you're in the airport and you're not going to go back through security. And I feel like the entire country, the entire economy is just captive. Like, Yeah, what if this was all an airport and we could just make everybody pay as much as we fucking wanted? Because, like, people don't have the time to, like, do all the cost comparisons. And if everybody's raising prices, there's no good option for them.
Yeah, man.
Let's drive the 99% or the 99 cent store out of business. You know?
A goddamn hash brown at McDonald's is over $3. That's
right.
Insane.
That's
crazy. It was 99 cent before the pandemic, and breakfast was all day.
Yeah.
And that now, part, you know, and now is, you know, I go get me a little bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle meal, and I'm paying $11 for that shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
You just got to make your own. Yeah.
I can buy, you know, new elbow grease for that much money.
Yeah. Like, even John Deere, which, like, had one of the highest profile strikes during the pandemic. Did.
Yeah,
they held out to, like, their workers held out to get a 10% raise. The company still expected to earn more the following year than the record profit it made the year before. Like, they're just all making record profits and, like, fighting, kicking and screaming to if it comes to paying anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's only one thing left to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kill them.
That's right. Like, but it's wild to read year after year, month after month, the mainstream media just continue to be like, just treat it like a mystery. Like, the way they talk about inflation uptick this month is increasing inflation was also bad news for workers, as real average hourly earnings were flat on the month and increased just 0.6% over the past. It's like, oh, no way. It's bad news for workers that they don't get paid more while prices keep going up. Like, that's inflation. That's what is happening here.
Yeah.
And they treat it almost like it's an accident instead of it's like the whole point.
I guess don't understand enough about economics or the terms of art, but isn't that not inflation? Because doesn't inflation imply that the wages also go up?
Yeah, I mean, that's supposed to be a cause of it, right? Yeah.
Right.
So I guess, consumer, this is consumer price index, and like inflation is supposed to be like, all money is becoming, like is changing. But
That was when they were like, if you give poor people money, it's just going to raise prices on them. And then it's no good. Why don't we not give poor people money, or not even poor people, workers, just pay people normal wages. Sorry, I shouldn't have even said that. But like, you know, it's like, fucking... Oh, that was just a political position that you tried to make a economic justification for? Weird.
Yes.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'm still reeling that Andrew called me poor.
That's right. But yeah, they supposedly it was the relief checks that were causing inflation. And then those ran out years ago and they're like, huh. Inflation's still going
still
up.
They still want to say that's why everything costs so much. It's like, oh, they're so mad about those like couple $100 checks.
And so they're saying literally the economy is too strong. And that's why we're all fucked. Because the economy is just too damn strong and people are going to have to start losing their jobs before the inflation goes down. Cool. Or maybe stop. You know, prioritizing profit over everything else and stop being like allowing companies to do that. But that doesn't see like it sounds childish, like, you know,
it's like one of those things where like it's continually the other place that there has barely been inflation is how little it costs to buy a fucking politician.
Yes.
I'm just like, it is shocking. Every time you hear what campaign finance, like all the shit is asking for, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of money and there's too much money in politics, but blah, blah, blah. It is depressing how cheap it is to buy a fucking congressperson.
Yeah. It's like a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
It's I'd be thinking that of much. That too. I'd be thinking like, oh yeah, man. Like, oh, they'd be in Paul, you know, get money. And then I go look at like the actual donations and it'd be like $20,000. I'm like, I can do that.
Yeah,
like, truly. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are you talking? Like, you can change laws for like low six figures sometimes. High.
That's crazy.
Like, it's just like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah. We all can be bought. It's just It's just a matter of how much.
Have some fucking self-respect, corrupt politicians. Like, raise the price at least.
God's sakes.
Like, I gave Andrew one time $450,000. And I won't tell you the unspeakable things Andrew did.
Yeah, but you know what?
That money.
Yeah. At least there was like a reason and a cost.
Yeah.
I gave him more than I gave Mitch McConnell, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
You hate to hear that, huh, Andrew?
Let's just say both of those bribes were not election related, and they were being Mitch McConnell related.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Consumer Reports, which I never took them for being like a muckraking, you know, like voice of the people. Yeah. But they just issued a scathing statement alleging that Lunchables meal kits contain not just crackers, processed meat, and sadness, but also relatively high levels of lead and cadmium.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So this isn't that surprising, given that Lunchables have a pretty terrible history, starting with the fact that it was literally launched by tobacco giants Philip Morris after they acquired Kraft in the 80s. So around in the 1980s, like the science had caught up on tobacco and they were like, all right, we've got to stop putting all our money into making up fake studies that say smoking actually increases your vertical.
Clears out your lungs.
Yeah, clearly it helps your healthy nerves and makes you actually really fast. Carl Lewis smokes menthol, smokes cools. They had given up on that. And so what they did with all of their massive amounts of money is they bought Kraft. And you may recognize the 80s as the time that America started having massive problems with obesity due to, in retrospect, pretty clearly due to addictive food. So it's like they were like, all right, so let's take this business model that has worked incredibly well for us, killing massive chunks of the population while making them addicted to giving us money, and we'll just do it on the food side of things. And that is essentially what they did. So Lunchables actually began as a way for, so Kraft owns Oscar Mayer, and Oscar Mayer at that point was like, poof, nobody wants to eat bologna anymore. They found bologna was like the cigarettes of foods, where people are like, oh wait, it's like mostly like the shit that you see in health informational video clogging lungs. That's like literally what bologna is made of. So maybe we shouldn't. And so in order to get rid of all that excess, you know, they had the machines and they had like the everything up and running making bologna. They're like, how about we just like fucking unload that Lunchables shit into kids' lunches?
Extrude a different gauge of meat.
And yeah, exactly.
Pure profit.
Different gauge. Exactly. So they studied mothers and discovered that their most pressing issue was time, and that it's hard for working parents to find time to put together lunches, or as Oscar Mayer saw it, a potential, quote, and this is a quote from them, gold mine of disappointments and problems. They're like, yes.
It's like they have that, and yet they don't put it on the box, which is a real L for their marketing department.
Yeah.
Also, the funny part about this, too, is like, we hear all these things, and also like Lunchables have also degraded in quality since even we were kids. So funny. It's just like bad quality can get worse.
Yes.
But then sometimes I also be thinking, like, I'll be looking at like some of the shit, like you said, lead was in Lunchables or all the bad shit that's in processed food. And I'm like, why does all the bad shit taste so good? Why does lead taste so good, man? Like, lead is delicious, man. And, you know, if lead isn't our Capri Sun, that shit was delicious. And it's so funny to me that, like, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Health.
Robo Jacquees.
Overrated, yo.
Robo Jacquees. I have no problem integrating lead.
If you can't taste good, if you can't enjoy good tasting lead, you got to eat nasty ass vegetables from the dirt. Which one would you rather have?
They used the same strategies that worked with tobacco for Lunchables, including what they call line extensions. So like new flavors and formulas. So like Marlboros, we'll do Marlboro Lights and, you know, Marlboro Wise, Marlboro Reds, you know, like all the. So Lunchables started having like Snickers bars or Reese's Cups or Kool-Aid or Lunchables hot dogs, tacos, pancakes.
When they bought those pizzas. Remember the fucking nasty-ass piece? And we used to, man, as kids, we was like, this shit is delicious. This is high-ass value.
It really was such a grainy bread that you
used. It's so nasty.
I can't, it's remarkable.
Uncooked cheese, cold marinara sauce, and soft cracker bread.
Yeah, exactly. One pediatrician called Lunchables a nutritional disaster, and a Kraft spokesperson responded, this is what kids want. There are very few kids out there who will eat rice cakes and tofu. So, like, they just, like, use the language of, like, fucking children to be like, what are you gonna make us eat fucking rice cakes, loser? And then, the guy, CEO of Philip Morris, Jeffrey Bible, his name.
Yeah,
love that.
When he was confronted with the fact that, like, there's way too much sodium in these. Like school children went from like being normal human beings to being like 45% sodium, just like pillars of salt. His defense was, we're not putting a gun to their heads to eat it.
Yeah.
But you're like, they designed the packages to look like gifts to like brainwash kids into thinking that, and brainwash mothers into being like, ah, oh, see, they love it. Like, Lunchables. Hey, I'm doing a nice thing for my kid.
We're not putting a gun to your head.
Again, really good marketing copy. I don't know why they didn't use it. Except now they kind of are putting it. I mean, they're like forcing it down kids' throats because last fall, Lunchables became eligible to be served as part of the National School Lunch Program
due
to lobbying efforts and the company altering two of its products to qualify.
Mm.
Because it's just, they have degraded all forms of regulation to the point that like it just, there's nothing protecting us from whatever is going to be the most profitable thing for these companies. And then the mainstream media launders this shit and makes it our fault. They're like, you guys don't exercise enough. Look at these countries with, or look at these, which states have the highest obesity rates. And it's like, yeah, okay. But like, let's look at the rate of obesity over time. And you will see that people in the 70s, before exercise had been invented, like had extremely low levels of obesity. It all happened in the 80s when fucking cigarette companies started making our food.
You know, it is like we were healthier when you could smoke on planes, which is not so good.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem. Instead, now they like sell you grown up Lunchable boxes on planes. And
you know, it's funny, too, because like fast exercise also became pretty big in the 80s, you know, or home video exercise or, you know, the Richard Simmons of the world. Everything like that. That all, and it's just so funny how like one thing can lead into the other. Like, oh, people are a little more unhealthy. Let's make money off of that. Hey, let's have you pay for health.
Yeah.
Let's make the
jazzercise came in.
Hey, human. You want a jazzercise? Instead of just being an efficient being?
Speaking of efficiency, like kids like have less and less time for lunch at school. And that's like one of the ways they're pitching Lunchables. They're like, students have about 20 minutes to just like fucking swallow their lunch pill, you know?
Ugh, crazy.
And Kraft also admitted that their altered school-friendly version of Lunchables that are approved for like to be the school lunch in public schools actually contains more sodium than the store-bought versions.
Yeah. Good. Good for them. Good for Lunchables.
Good for Lunchables. You know, listen. If Lunchables can't survive in this world, then what can, you know?
It is kind of nice to see that,
you
like...
say we're haters?
Yeah. No, I'm saying everybody criticizing Lunchables is a bunch of fucking haters. They're just on their grind, and they're getting...
Yeah.
You know how many fucking Lambos the inventor of Lunchables has?
So many. So many.
So sick.
I do like how this, like... the Philip Morris ethos is just stronger than anything else. It's like, no, we fucking kill people. That's what we were put on this earth to do. We come here to fucking kill people, and it does not matter what we do it with. We're the John Wick of murdering people with anything.
I mean, the key to, like, my first indication that, like, this form of capitalism we live under and have lived under for a long time might not be great is, like, the cheat code is addictive substances. Like Coca-Cola Classic is massive because it started out with cocaine in it and everyone was like obsessed for a while and they were able to use that to like, you know, it's they're going to do the thing that is bad for you to make as much money off of you as possible. And then they're going to, in the media, call you fat and lazy.
Your name is on a building, within two generations, you have a drug dealer in your family.
Yeah, exactly.
That is like, that's just
how it works. Yeah. That is just how it works. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And then it's funny, too, because like Coca-Cola, like when they had cocaine in it to make you buy it more, it was still exponentially cheaper than it is now. And like even comparatively, you know. So now if I want cocaine in my Coca-Cola, I gotta pay extra for that shit.
It's so annoying.
Just like, it's so crazy how when all these things started, whether they were bad or the reason they started, like, it still was priced in a way that made sense for people to be able to afford them. And now a lot of these things are worse in many ways. Like, Coca-Cola is probably worse today without cocaine in it than it was when it was first created.
Right.
Just as a product. And it costs three times as much as it should. And it's just so funny to me. Like, we aren't getting better. We just get worse.
No, it's really...
Like, we just get worse.
Yeah, especially, like, just from the 70s when, I mean, obviously the fact that everyone thought cigarettes were healthy, not great, but the problems have just metastasized and spread since then.
Yeah.
And now it's just unaccountable hypercapitalism without anyone pumping any brakes anywhere.
That's why you upload your brain to Jakis City in the cyberverse.
That's right.
Come on. Come on. Listen, when you're feeling a little down, just plug yourself in, get some juice.
There you go.
Put yourself in low power mode.
Official Jakis juice, not addictive. Wink.
And suck on this lead lollipop. And
suck on this lead lollipop. Yeah. Help your cogs and your wheels inside.
Amazing. Well, Jakis, what a pleasure having you.
Oh my gosh. It's always great to be here with the Zeitgang family. It was great. I appreciate y'all.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, well, you know what? You can find me always and every time in these streets, ladies and gentlemen and everybody. Breaking news, I am back on Twitter.
Okay.
For those of you who have never heard me. Because I love Elon. He gave it back. He gave it back to me, y'all. For those of you who have never heard me on this podcast, because it's been a few months, you won't care about this. But for everybody else, like, you probably remember I got my Twitter taken away. My Twitter is now back in action. I do not fucking use it. And, you know, I'm not just stalling so I can find something. That's not what I'm doing, y'all. I am literally telling you, you can find me at Jakis Neal on everything. I will say this. I'm not going to give you something funny. I'm not even going to give you a specific tweet. I am just going to talk for like 45 seconds about how much I enjoyed WrestleMania and all the content that's coming out afterwards.
That's so
all
funny.
The like
we had
threads.
Like 20 minutes yesterday on WrestleMania.
Oh, I fucking love it.
Actually, today.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was one of the best main events, and like just all the like threads about the storytelling and all the memes about it and how hyped everybody was and how people are excited to enjoy wrestling again. It's been so fucking great. And it's been such a fun time. The Rock was better than ever as a heel this time in wrestling. All the memes, all the social media about WWE and WrestleMania has been giving me life over the past few days. And shout out to Samantha Irving, who is a ring announcer at WWE, for WWE, who was fantastic this weekend. Top to bottom, great show. Loved it. So that's what I'm enjoying right now is all the WrestleMania talk from this past weekend's WrestleMania.
There you go.
And Comedian Few. Comedian Few.
Come out to it.
Come out to it if you're in LA. We're also live streaming it. We got some really big shows coming up, man. We got two more shows before we take a hiatus for the summer in May and in June. So we've been live streaming them, and we're going to continue to live stream the next two. We got some really good ones if you're fans of Dropout. I got a couple special surprise contestants that we're going to announce pretty soon. So my website is a good, or social media, Instagram is a good way to find tickets, whether it's in person or online, for Comedian Feud.
There you go. Andrew T., thank you so much for joining. Where can people find you? Is there work media you've been enjoying?
Just Andrew T. I don't know. Yours is racist in my podcast. Actually, my media, I picked it because Jakis is here. Wait, Jack, are you a Chicago guy also?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. Yeah, that's how I knew that.
Big fan of the Bulls in the early 90s.
My media is an old one, but it is it was originally a TikTok. I think I saw it on Instagram.
Yes.
Of the whitest man you've ever seen making Malort cookies. Which is gross. And this weekend, I watched it like 1,000 times because It was my friend from Chicago's birthday, so I made a batch of Malort cookies. I don't bake typically. And I mean, I actually like Malort, but I recognize that they were objectively disgusting. So yeah, I don't know. I think if you literally just search Malort cookies, you can find the thing, but maybe I'll find a link.
I will not be doing that. I will not.
They're real gross. They have grapefruit peel and chocolate in the cookies.
Just like really strong tastes that cover up other tastes. Dang.
You know what? I take it back.
No, you can taste the Malort. You can taste the Malort.
I take it back, man. Health is a beautiful thing, y'all. Yeah. Don't do this to yourself. Don't do this to yourself, y'all. Don't do that.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Tweet, I'm enjoying Jason X Inferius tweeted, could we make the tweet font a little larger? I'm trying to drive. And then, of course, I'm just enjoying the many slow motion clips of Victor Wembanyama sham-godding into a spin move, into a lefty layup. Like, just... What the fuck is even going on anymore? Very excited about. As the season comes to an end, he seems to just be getting better. Non-NBA fans might not know that rookies are supposed to hit a wall about two-thirds of the way through the season and start being like exhausted from the rigor and having to go against all these big, strong people. And he just seems to be getting stronger and doing more and more wild shit. Shout out to Victor Wembanyama, I guess.
Hell yeah. Shout out to the Slender Man.
The Slender Man himself. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information we talked about in today's episode. Well done. As well as a song that we think you might enjoy. And I do always like to ask Super Producer, when Miles is out, Super Producer Justin Connor always comes through with the fire song recommendations. Justin, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, I've fast become a fan of this young artist out of California by the name of Remy Wolf. She has just such an incredibly fun and effervescent vibe to a lot of her music. This song included, it's called Sexy Villain, and it's got that satisfying type of songwriting where like the rhyme scheme of one line is perfectly mapped over the other. And there's enough space for the key stabs and guitar plucks to bleed through, creating this like well-timed syncopation. It's really funky. It's an absolute bop. So you can check this track out. It's called Sexy Villain by Remy Wolf, and it'll be in the footnotes.
Footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye. Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.